Without further delay then, brethren and sisters and young people, we'll call forward our speaker now, Brother Arthur Hughes, to speak to us on the subject, Jehovah's Witnesses, refuted by the Bible. Brother Arthur, please.
And sisters and young people, as stated this last week from this platform, we are this evening to examine the doctrines of that group of people who claim to be God's witnesses upon the earth. For they interpret passage from the book of Isaiah, of which we have just read, which reads, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." They interpret this to themselves. In a convention of the Jehovah's Witnesses at Columbus in Ohio in 1931, a resolution was proposed and passed in which the following was stated: to make known to the people that Jehovah is the true and almighty God. Therefore we joyfully embrace and take the name which the mouth of the Lord God has named, and we desire to be known as and called by the name, to wit, Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, in choosing this passage from Scripture, the witnesses really are condemning themselves, because the witnesses spoken here in that by the prophet Isaiah are condemned because they brought not their burnt offerings and sacrifices unto God, and did those things which was pleasing in their sight. Turn with me to that chapter our president read, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 23. And here we read from verse 22. "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honoured me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no cane, sweet cane, with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." The witnesses here, as we can plainly see, are unwilling witnesses. And since when have the Jehovah's Witnesses offered animal sacrifices to God? These things cannot apply to Jehovah's Witnesses, but to the children of Israel, the Jews. It is the Jews who, in their persecution, scattering and regathering throughout from the earth to the land of Israel in the last 50 years or so, have been God's witnesses upon the earth, which we shall consider in a moment. In a book by the Jehovah's Witnesses entitled Jehovah's Witnesses in the 20th Century, and on page 28, it is quoted, "It is of vital importance of persons to have beliefs that conform to Bible teachings." A statement that we, the Berean Christadelphians, would readily agree. For it is indeed essential for salvation that we have a correct understanding of the Bible. But we find that the Jehovah's current beliefs held today contradict the beliefs held by their founders on many vital doctrines. So we ask the question, why have they not rejected those founders as being unsound? The witnesses, we find, promote change in doctrine in a very positive way, yet never admitting error. They speak how they came to understand, or how Jehovah has now revealed, when what they really mean is that they were wrong in the beginning. Their own writings condemn this practice, as they state in a book of theirs, Jehovah's Witnesses in the 20th century, on page 27. I quote, "Anyone who is serious about his religion should think it is the right one. Otherwise, why would he or she be involved in it? Christians are admonished, make sure of all things, hold fast to that which is fine." Quoting from the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And they add, "You should make sure that your beliefs can be supported by Scripture, for there is only one true faith." Unquote. They say in their own book, "You should make sure that your beliefs can be supported by Scripture, for there is only one true faith." So, as we said, by their own statement, they are unsound in that which they themselves admit is essential. By their own admission, Jehovah's Witnesses are unstable in their doctrines and are still finding out the truth progressively. They claim that they have the channel of divine communication which directs them. But the Apostle Paul stated quite clearly back in his days that the mystery of the gospel was made known to all people through his preaching. Turn with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 16. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans and chapter 16 and verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." The Apostle Paul tells us clearly, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." The truth of the gospel does not change. It does not change. Knowledge might deepen, but the basic beliefs, the basic doctrines of the truth do not need amending as the years go by. Turn with me to Galatians and chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. The Apostle Paul admonishing those of Galatia, he says, "I marvel that he has so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Or as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that he have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So whereas we are told that the doctrines of the Jehovah's Witnesses, they are finding them out progressively, the Apostle Paul tells us that the gospel was preached in his day that a man might have salvation. The GWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses too, we find, resent the suggestion that God still has a national purpose with literal Israel, Israel of the flesh. They utterly refute that God has a national purpose with Israel unless that particular Israelite becomes a Jehovah's Witness. Yet, as wrong as what this is, yet this has not always been their belief regarding Israel. For in a book of theirs entitled Divine Plan of the Ages, published in 1886, on page 108, they state, the prophets are full of statements of how God will plant them, that is Israel, again, and they shall no more be plucked up. And on page 294 of the same book, they state, we find statements by both prophets and apostles which clearly indicate that in times of restitution, Israel as a nation will be the first among the nations to come in harmony with the new order of things. Unquote. These statements are true to Scripture. But over the years, things have changed dramatically. And in 1946, in another book of theirs, they say, the facts and prophecies prove that the natural Jews will never again be a chosen, regathered people. They have, as a people, fragrantly rejected the Messiah, his truth and his kingdom. It is a false hope that they must be regathered to Palestine and be converted en masse to Jesus Christ prior to his second coming, and as a sign of the earthly establishment of his kingdom. They say God's kingdom was established in 1914, and then Christ Jesus came into his kingdom power at his Father's right hand, and this, they say, without any mass conversion of natural Jews to Christ. It is a false hope they must be regathered to Palestine. Unquote. They have turned around and be opposite to the things which they believed regarding Israel. And they say it is a false hope that Israel must be regathered to Palestine. Now, we are aware that the Jews are in unbelief of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in only 2 years after the publication of this book, in the year 1948, millions of Jews were regathered in Palestine, which is now a recognized state in the earth, as stated by the prophets that this would be the case, The prophets state, as Jehovah's once did state, that the Jews would be regathered in the land prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. To state now that God has cast off his people forever is a very great statement to make. God has punished and dispersed them among the nations. And yes, they have been persecuted for their rejection of their Messiah and their iniquity. But God has clearly stated he will regather them. He has stated clearly he will regather them. And indeed, as they, the Jehovah's Witnesses themselves, stated in the book we just quoted from, they would become, or will become, the first among the nations when Christ returns to the earth, when he will change their hearts of stone to a heart of flesh, and they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses have changed their beliefs regarding Israel, as they have done with many other of the prophecies. To deny that Jews shall be regathered and that Christ shall rule over them upon the throne of David, that illustrious king of Israel who ruled over Israel in the past, is to call God a liar. For God himself made a covenant with David and his greater son, and God does not break covenant. God made a covenant with David and his greater son, that is one that is born in his line, who would gather them as one, that he might rule over Israel forever at a future date. Turn with me to the covenant that God made with David. 2 Samuel and chapter 7. Second book of Samuel and chapter 7. And here we read in verse 10. We read from verse 1 first of all. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth in curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle? In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. Now since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for ever. I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established for ever before thee. Thy throne shall be established for ever. In this covenant that God made with David, he said that though David would go to the grave, he would rise, and that son that would come after his days shall set up the kingdom. And he said, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 32, where this prophet, many years afterwards, speaks of the time when that covenant made with David would come to pass. Jeremiah 32 and verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them, in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say it is desolate, without man or beast. It is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans. Yes, that day, speaks the prophet Jeremiah, will come when David, the son of greater son of David, will return, and Israel of the flesh will be gathered to that wonderful land. Yes, Israel has turned away from God, and to such a degree that the word of God to the last king of Israel was a promise of impending doom. Turn to Ezekiel and chapter 21. Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 25, where he speaks of the impending doom to come upon Israel, but also of a future restoration. Verse 25, and thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown, this shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more, until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Yes, there is a prophecy of impending doom upon Israel, but also the promise of future restoration and blessing. Not for their sakes, God tells them on one occasion, not for your sakes, he tells them, but because he had made a promise to their fathers that he would bless them, and that he made a covenant with David, and that he would keep his promise, and it would come to pass in the earth. The prophet Isaiah, we won't turn to it, in his 9th chapter and verse 6, speaking of this wonderful time of blessing, says, for unto us, that is Israel, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the age-lasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish from henceforth, even forever. The Lord of hosts will perform this. Jehovah's Witnesses might change their minds regarding these prophecies, but God does not change. God does not change. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. God does not change. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the wave thereof roll. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord, from the tower of Ananeel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go forth over against it upon the hill Jareb, and shall compass about to Goath. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron and to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. Yahweh does not forget his promise. Jehovah's Witnesses might change, but Yahweh does not. This is the hope of the apostles and the prophets and apostles. And the apostle Paul tells us, when he was a prisoner before being taken to Rome, for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. The apostle Paul's hope was that Israel would be regathered and become a joy in the earth. And for this he said, I am bound with this chain. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in answer to the apostle Peter, who had given his all to Christ, said, Verily I say unto thee, that in the regeneration, when the Son of God shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel, regathered from the earth, where they have been persecuted and wanderers throughout the earth. Mark Twain said, What is the secret of the immortal Jew? With all his persecution, he's still there in the world, and he will be regathered. and they will become a part of that government spoken of by the prophet Isaiah that we just read in his 9th chapter. And the government of Christ shall be upon the earth. The apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. God, says the apostle Paul in Romans 11, has not cast away his people. Turn with me to the epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 11. Verse 1. I say then, says the apostle Paul, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot he not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed down thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone to seek my life. And they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, says the apostle Paul, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to grace, of election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Turn to verse 17. Sorry, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminution of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree art grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not thee. Yes, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, says the apostle Paul. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Another of the statements by the Jehovah's Witnesses, which they have amended time and time again, is the date which has been set for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. 1914, they assert, is the year Christ returned invisibly, and that he took up power in the heavenly kingdom after a war in heaven with the devil. It will surprise many to know that 1914 has not always been the agreed date among them. It was Charles Taylor Russell, the founder of the movement, known then as Bible students in the 1800s, who suggested Christ would return invisibly in 1874, which arrived without any indication of the expected event. It was then alleged that Christ had indeed returned in October 1874, but that there would be a 3.5-year cleansing of the temple in heaven. This brought the establishment of the kingdom to God into 1878. But once again, their hopes did not materialize. Yet despite these disappointments, the dates were still firmly held to. The world still obviously not under the control and influence of the kingdom of God. So Russell looked further again. He calculated that there must be a 40-year period before the kingdom rule would take effect upon the earth. This he styled the harvest time, when the wheat and the tares would be separated, taken from Matthew's Gospel chapter 13. At the end of that period, 1874, at the end of that period from 1874, brought the date forward to 1914, the year which Russell predicted would see the end of Gentile times. But what did Russell expect to happen on this date? What did he expect to happen? As far as he was concerned, Christ had already turned in 1874 and was invisibly on the throne in Israel, in heaven. He expected the ushering in of the kingdom rule upon the earth. He expected the kingdom rule upon the earth. And he expected the ancient worthies such as Abraham, Isaac and Jacob to be resurrected to life on earth as rulers in the earthly face of the kingdom. He also predicted that the Gentile dominion over the earth would come to an end in 1914, and that the Jews would be nationally restored to their land and into favour with God. This did not happen. Russell died in 1916, a broken man. 2 years after the promised date, many left the movement because of unfulfilled promises and hopes. The organization suffered a downward slide until it was revitalized by its second leader, a Judge Rutherford, who once again, as did Russell, set dates regarding the return of Christ. A book was brought out at that time which was entitled, Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And he predicted that in 1925 would be the all-important date to see the climax of all these things which they predicted. But once again, none of these predicted things transpired, and no, they have not, even up until the present day in which you and I live. Christ has not returned to the earth, invisibly or visible. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall return to the earth, the people of this earth will be fully aware of it. Why do they state Christ shall return to the earth invisibly? Why do they state that he will return or did return in 1914 invisible? For Scripture says so clearly, as we shall see, that Christ shows himself bodily to the faithful. The Jehovah's Witnesses of the atonement or death of Christ places the redeeming value in Christ's body as the price of redemption for the sins of the world. Now, if Christ's life or body were given for a ransom, he ought now to be alive. And the ones he gave his body for ought not to die, for he has paid the price of their redemption. So we might ask, what has happened to the body of Christ? The witnesses say, our Lord's human body was supernaturally removed from the tomb. We know nothing of about what became of it, except that it did not decay or corrupt. Whether it was dissolved into gases or whether it is still preserved somewhere, they state, as the grand memorial of God's love, of Christ's obedience and our redemption, no one knows, they say. No one knows. But we do know. Scripture tells us quite plainly that Christ rose from the dead with the same body by which he went into the tomb. For after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus turned to Thomas in that room and one of his disciples, and he, who had doubted of his resurrection, and said, Thomas, touch my hands and my side. Turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 20. Gospel according to John and chapter 20 and verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And we remember also that when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, before his ascension, he ate with his disciples. Turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 24. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24 and verse 39. Once again, we read from verse 36. And as they spoke thus, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were affrighted, terrified and affrighted, and supposed they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as he see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and he ate before them. Yes, behold my hands and my feet. Jesus had risen from the dead with the same body that he went into the tomb. The apostles were with him upon the Mount of Olives as he was about to leave to go into heaven. And they saw him ascend into the air until a crowd received him out of their sight and were told clearly by the angels present that as they had seen him go bodily from them into heaven, so they would see him return in like manner. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 12. The book of the prophet Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 6. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like an heart of wood among the wood, and like a torch of fire in the sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Turn to chapter 13 and verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these bones in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ will return with the same body as he went into the tomb. The Jewish nation, whom the witnesses say have been completely rejected by God, will be forced to accept Christ as their Messiah and King, and to admit their wrong in rejecting him. In the book of the Apocalypse we read, behold, he cometh with clouds, that is, clouds of his followers, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Here, once again, it is obvious that they will see him physically as he was. For how else could the Jewish nation be converted other than by actually seeing the cloud, the wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side? Which brings us to the fact that it is the Jews and not the Jehovah's Witnesses are God's true witnesses. As we have looked into the beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses this evening, we are surely bound to agree, and there were many other points we could have brought out, we are bound to agree that they are astray from the teaching of the prophets and the apostles. We cannot, in all due respect, we cannot put our trust in the teaching of Jehovah's Witnesses regarding our salvation. It is far too important. It is far too important. And we remember their own words. It is of vital importance of persons to have beliefs that conform to the Bible. May we then take heed to the warning of the Apostle John, who wrote in his second epistle, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And the prophet Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony, the word of God we have before us, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light, there is no knowledge in them. Let us then try the spirits, for our very salvation depends upon it.